This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu wa sallama wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. All praise is due to Allah and may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and upon all those who follow his guidance, his methodology, his sunnah, his way, his creed, until the last day. Brothers and sisters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Today, inshallah ta'ala, our lecture is entitled Ramadan for a Limited Time Only. And this heading, or this title, was inspired by one of the verses in Surah Al-Baqarah, which talks about Siyam and talks about Ramadan and fasting. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu kutiba alaykumus siyamu kama kutiba ala alladhina min qablikum la'allakum tattaqoon ayyaman ma'dudat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Kutiba alaykumus siyam. That siyam has been ordained for you as it was ordained for those before you, so that in order you gain taqwa, in order that you gain righteousness and piety and the fear of Allah Azza wa Jal and reverence of Allah. Immediately after this command of fasting, Allah says, Ayyaman ma'dudat. Ayyam means days. Yawm is a day. Ayyam are days. Ma'dudat, they are a limited number of days. They are a limited number of days. Allah Azza wa Jal is bringing to our attention that they are only a few days. I mean, they are going to be either 29 or 30 days of some 355 or so days of the year, of the lunar calendar year. So they are a number of days, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to make the most out of these days and not turn these days into a missed opportunity. So just like you, when you go to, when you hear about shopping centers or a certain store that says for a limited time only or while stocks last, what are they actually saying? What are they trying to do to us? They want us to act quickly before the time is up and you miss out on the discounts and you miss out on the concessions that are available. So Allah Azza wa Jalla is saying, Ayyaman ma'dudat. They're just a limited number of days out of this whole year. Make the most out of them. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, my dear brothers and my dear sisters in Islam, He really has blessed us in ways that we will never be able to enumerate or count. You can never count the blessings of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Allah Himself in the Quran says, وَإِن تَعُدُّوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا. If you were to enumerate or to count the blessings of Allah Azza wa Jal, you will not be able to count them. Who can count the blessings of Allah Azza wa Jal? Whether it's the blessing of actually being Muslims and not being kuffar and not being disbelievers or munafiqoon or hypocrites. وَإِن تَعُدُّوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا. Whether it's Iman, Islam, whether it's the Qur'an that we have, whether it's belonging to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as an ummah, as a nation, whether it's our health, whether it's the peace and the security that we enjoy. So, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, Allah Azza wa Jal, He does so much for us and blesses us and rewards us and gives us so many opportunities to be outstanding in this life and outstanding in the hereafter. And Allah Azza wa Jal, He has blessed us with certain stops throughout our lives for us to nurture our iman and tend to our iman. Because our belief is that iman increases and decreases. Your iman levels, they increase and decrease. They don't always stay the same. So do not be surprised if you have, you know, if you see yourself and your iman levels are low at times and sometimes they are extremely high. So they increase with good actions and they decrease through sin and transgression and not doing what Allah Azza wa Jalla has commanded. So Allah Azza wa Jal blesses, He helps us along the way so we don't become misguided. So Allah has put in place for us seasons or stops for us to revive our iman. You know, sometimes when you're driving on the freeways or on the streets and you see a sign, I know this is applicable in Australia, I don't know about other parts of the world, but you know, you often see the sign, stop, revive, survive, right? So when you're driving on a long road, they're reminding you to take some breaks, to take it easy on yourself, even though you're just sitting there, you have the air condition on, you're just driving, but it does have a toll on your body. And life brings about hardships, many dilemmas, many challenges, many arduous situations that we find ourselves in. So we need to stop to do certain exercises that will revive our iman, so to allow us to survive the hardships in this life and the hardships of the hereafter, which begin in the grave and when we stand before Allah Azza wa Jal. So stop, revive and survive. What are these stops? What are some examples? Well, we have daily stops. Such as what? Such as salah. Allah Azza wa Jal in 24 hours wants us to stop 5 times. And He has chosen those times. And so we stop to, we make wudu. And wudu revitalizes us, freshens us up. You know, it's very invigorating. And we make wudu, ablution. And we perform the salah, we exercise our limbs and our joints. And we find ourselves now more energetic, more productive, and focused, inshallah ta'ala, in what's about to come throughout the day. So we have our 5 daily prayers, Fajr and Dhuhr and Asr, Maghrib and Isha. They're the 5 daily stops. Then we have weekly stops, Yawmul Jumu'ah, whereby a Muslim male is obligated to attend the masjid, the mosque, and perform Jumu'ah prayer. We have yearly stops. Okay, Ramadan is one of them, whereby we stop, and all of these stops contain disciplinary exercises and spiritual exercises. And in Islam is a deen, is a religion of spirituality. We also have lifetime stops, Hajj, pilgrimage to Mecca, whereby we connect with people from all walks of life in Mecca and its surrounding areas, whether it's Mina, Arafat, Muzdalifah, we go to Medina, and we meet our brothers and sisters from all over the world, and we connect with them, and we are reminded that we are all equal in the sight of Allah Azza wa Jal. Only Allah Azza wa Jal judges us for our iman and for our taqwa. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put for us these seasons, these places for us to stop, to revive and to survive, inshallah ta'ala. And so we need to make the most out of these stops. They're there for us. They're there for us. We need to reach out and we need to make sure we do the correct exercises. Our iman needs nourishment. As human beings, we're made up of a physical body and a spiritual body. Many of us are nurturing our physical bodies through food and through drink and through exercise. But many of us are neglecting our spiritual beings, right? And so hence we find people are depressed, and we find one of the highest selling medicines and drugs in the world are antidepressants. People resorting to drugs to become happy, because they are not nourishing them, their souls. So we have the Quran, we have the remembrance of Allah, we have these religious obligations that nourish our faith. But many of us are not reaching out. So I'll give you an example. If we have food in front of us, very balanced food, healthy food, whatever it might be in front of us, and we know for surety that it is healthy, but how is it going to benefit us if we don't eat it or drink it? You can't just look at it. You can't just say that, yes, I love the Quran. I love Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I love Allah Azza wa Jal. It's not going to benefit you. You need to basically put your money where your mouth is. Innal muhibba liman yuhibbu muti'u. If you love something, you will obey. you will obey Allah Azza wa Jal. You obey the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In the Quran, Allah says, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِ يَحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهِ. That if you love Allah, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if you love Allah, follow me, Allah will love you. That's how you get the gain. That's how you gain the love of Allah Azza wa Jal, by following in the footsteps of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And when we have this iman, when we have this faith, that's when we will be happier individuals. And the opposite is true. And Allah says in the Quran, وَمَنْ أَعْرَضَ عَنْ ذِكْرِي فَإِنَّ لَهُ مَعِيشَةً ضَنْكَى. And whoever turns away from my remembrance will have a wretched life, will have a miserable life. So if you want to have a successful and happy life, okay, then it's very important that we adhere to the teachings. Otherwise, Allah is telling us in no uncertain terms that you will have a wretched life. We need to check ourselves. We need to check our relationship with Allah Azza wa Jal. Allah Azza wa Jal is giving us an opportunity throughout the year, through 1 month, to discipline ourselves. And studies have shown that a change of behavior, it takes some 30 or 40 days for a change of behavior to become a habit. And then it takes some 6 months to become a lifestyle. So we have an opportunity coming up to really reform ourselves and to reconnect with Allah Azza wa Jal and to get our priorities straight, inshaAllah ta'ala. So as you know, my dear brothers and my dear sisters in Islam, we are approaching the end of this month. This is the month called the month of Sha'ban. And we are approaching a month in which the Quran was revealed. In Ramadan, Ramadan is the month in which the Quran was revealed. And it was not only the month in which the Quran was revealed, but there are authentic narrations, hadith, that indicate to us that the scriptures of the past were also revealed during the month of Ramadan. That's how special this month is. This is a month of remembering Allah. This is a month of performing night prayers. This is a month of repentance. It's the month of Ramadan that we're talking about here. And during this superior month, there are many historical milestones that took place. For example, the first battle of Islam, the Battle of Badr, took place in the month of Ramadan. And the Muslims were victorious in this battle. And what is amazing about this victory is that the Muslims were outnumbered. A ratio of 3-1, whereby there were 300 Muslims. 300 of the Sahaba. Okay, and there were 1,000 mushriks. 1,000 mushriks trying to annihilate Islam, trying to annihilate the Prophet ﷺ and his message. And subhanAllah, had it not been for the victory of the Muslims in this battle, you and I perhaps would not be here as Muslims today. It would have been the end of Islam. Because the Prophet ﷺ, before this battle, he raised his hands. He raised his hands, his arms, in supplication, in dua to Allah Azza wa Jal. And he said, Ya Allah, O Allah, give us victory. Because if this band of Muslims should be destroyed, no one will be left on earth to worship you. Because they were the only ones that were worshipping Allah Azza wa Jal, who were following the true path of Allah Azza wa Jal, following Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And so, let's not underestimate the great battle of Badr that took place during the month of Ramadan. It was also during the month of Ramadan, my dear brothers and my dear sisters in Islam, that the conquest of Mecca took place. The conquest of Mecca, Fathu Mecca, took place in the month of Ramadan. It was also in the month of Ramadan that the conquest of Turkey, known back then as Constantinople, took place in the month of Ramadan. And also, we have Spain. The conquest of Spain took place in Ramadan. And so it's a very blessed month. And from amongst the dua of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he used to say, Allahumma barik lana bi Rajab wa Sha'ban wa ballighna Ramadan. He used to say, and oh Allah, bless for us the month of Rajab and the month of Sha'ban, and deliver us to the month of Ramadan. Allow us to take part in the month of Ramadan, because of the great reward that waits and the virtue and the benefits of Ramadan. And so we find the Salaf al-Salih, we find the Sahaba for five months of the year, they are making dua, Allahumma ballighna Ramadan. Allahumma ballighna Ramadan. Allahumma ballighna Ramadan. Oh Allah, bless us or grant us the ability to fast in the month of Ramadan, to take part in the activities of Ramadan. Then Ramadan would come. And then for six months, you know what they used to do? They would always make dua, Allahumma taqabbal minna. Allahumma taqabbal minna Ramadan. Oh Allah, accept from us the actions that we did in Ramadan. Because the actions are so high and meritorious and so rewarding that they want to ensure that they have secured all those actions and the rewards that they have granted, that they committed in Ramadan. This is how we should be, inshallah ta'ala. Following in the example of our Salaf al-Salih, our pious predecessors. And Ramadan, my dear brothers and my dear sisters in Islam, is one of the sha'air of Islam. It's one of the symbols. It's one of those things that we need to venerate. And if you don't venerate Ramadan, and if you look at Ramadan as just another month, just another ritual, then there is an issue, a problem with your iman, with your faith. And when you honor the symbols of Islam, whether it's Ramadan, whether it's Jumu'ah, whether it's Salah in Jama'ah, whether it's Laylatul Qadr, whether it's Mecca, whether it's Medina, whether it's Palestine, these are all symbols. These are all icons of Islam. And we should always honor these things and revere these things and love these things because they are loved by Allah. A Muslim loves what Allah loves. A Muslim hates what Allah hates. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ذَلِكَ وَمَنْ يُعَظِّمْ شَعَائِرَ اللَّهِ فَإِنَّهَا مِنْ تَقْوَى الْقُلُوبِ. That whoever honors the symbols of Allah, whoever honors the symbols of Allah, then it is truly from the piety of the heart. And we find this in Surah Al-Hajj, the 22nd chapter of the Quran, verse 32. And subhanAllah, despite this introduction, despite the verses, despite the hadiths, there are many people, many Muslims, who don't honor the month of Ramadan. And when it comes to Muslims in Ramadan, a Muslim is one of six categories. Every Muslim in Ramadan will belong to one of six groups. You're either in one of those groups and no other group. Let's go through the six. Number one, they're the worst of the lot. They are the ones who don't remember Allah, not in Ramadan and not outside of Ramadan. They're just Muslims by passport or by their, you know, identity cards or whatever you want to call them. Muslims by name. And they are individuals who are heedless. Heedless of Allah Azza wa Jal, who created them and has provided for them and whose every cell in their body is from Him, from Allah Azza wa Jal. Yet they do not worship Allah Azza wa Jal in the way that He is to be worshipped. And they don't even pray. They don't fast. So this is the worst of that. There are people out there who say they are Muslims and they do not show any reflection of their Islam through their actions. These people forgot about Allah Azza wa Jal. And when you forget about Allah Azza wa Jal, Allah Azza wa Jal will forget about you. Allah says so in the Quran when He said in Surah Al-Hashr, وَلَا تَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ نَسُوا اللَّهَ فَأَنْسَاهُمْ أَنفُسَهُمْ أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْفَاسِقُونَ. And do not be like those who forgot about Allah. So he made them forget about themselves. These Muslims need to think. They need to think about one day they will have to enter the masjid, whether they like it or not. Not to pray, but to be prayed upon. That they one day they will be carried on the shoulders. And they will be meeting Allah Azza wa Jal. How are they going to meet Allah Azza wa Jal? Not having fasted, not having prayed, not having done the things that Allah Azza wa Jal has asked them to do. So this is the first group. And these people who don't fast, I want to remind them of a hadith. This hadith is found is collected by Ibn Khuzaymah and Ibn Hibban. Shaykh Nasiruddin Albani, rahimahullah ta'ala, he declared this hadith as authentic. And it's about the punishment of those who don't fast or those who break their fast earlier than the prescribed time. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentions that one day whilst he was sleeping, two men came to him and they took him by the arms and they brought him to a rugged mountain. And they said to him to climb up this mountain. He said to them, I cannot climb this mountain. So they helped him. Very rugged, steep mountain. So they helped him. And when he got to the top of the mountain, he heard loud voices. And he asked, what are these loud voices? They said, this is the howling of the people of the hellfire, of people of Jahannam. So then he was taken by these two until he saw people hanging by their hamstrings with the sides of their mouths torn and blood pouring from their mouths. He said, who are these? They said, these are people who broke their fast before it was time to do so. This is the punishment for those people who broke their fast before the prescribed time. What could be said about those who don't fast at all? So a very serious hadith. And so today, my dear brothers and my dear sisters in Islam, today is a time for action and tomorrow is a time for reckoning. Just as we have heard from our pious predecessors that today is actions. Today there's no reckoning. But tomorrow, there will be no actions. And it will be a time for reckoning. And it's too late. You know, too late to come back to this life. Allah gives us, you know, one chance. That's it. So, you will only live one life. But there will be a resurrection. And you will be, and I will be, resurrected. And standing before Allah Azza wa Jal and communicating with Allah Azza wa Jal. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Laysa baynahu wa baynahu turjuman," that there will be no interpreters, no translators. And we have to stand before Allah Azza wa Jal and we have to answer the questions. The second group of people are called the transformers. Transformers. These people, basically Muslims, who transform days into nights and nights into days. What does that mean? It means in the daytime they just sleep. They sleep throughout the day. And at night they are up, eating and drinking and playing and in amusement. So they're not like up in night prayers and up remembering Allah Azza wa Jal. So they'll say, they'll actually sleep through the days to lessen the hunger pains. Okay? And the tiredness. But at night time, they'll spend it in all sorts of amusements. And many of which is displeasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they sleep through the salat. And yet the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he was asked about the salat, or he was asked which action is most favored by Allah azza wa jal, he said what? He said, it is as-salat ala waqtiha. As-salatu ala waqtiha means prayer at its fixed time. إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ كَانَتْ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ كِتَابًا مَوْقُوتًا. Allah says that the salah has been prescribed upon the believers at fixed times. So these people are wasting their time through social networks, whether it's Facebook, whether it's Twitter, whether it's MSN, whether it's movies, television, game consoles. So again, is this why Allah Azza wa Jal prescribed the month of Ramadan? And so the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and I want to remind parents, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, كُلُّكُمْ رَاعٍ وَكُلُّكُمْ مَسْؤُولٌ عَنْ رَعِيَّتِهِ. All of you are shepherds and all of you are responsible for your flock. So we as parents have a duty regarding what our children are doing. What are they seeing? Where are they going? What are they eating? What are they reading? So we have a responsibility and we need to ensure that we are fulfilling our responsibility. Then we have those Muslims, the third group, are those who only abstain from food and drink. That is to say that to them Ramadan is just about not eating and not drinking between Fajr, between the break of dawn and between Maghrib, between sunset. And so that's all they refrain from. And what do they engage in? They still continue to engage in ghiba, backbiting, or namima, slandering, or buhtan, lies, or profanities. You know, using swear words and language which is not befitting for a Muslim to use. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the hadith that is found in Bukhari and Muslim, he said, "Man lam yada qawla az-zuri wal 'amala bihi," that whoever does not abandon evil speech and acting upon it, "falaysa lillahi haja bi an yada'a ta'amahu wa sharaba," that if a person doesn't abandon this bad speech during the month of Ramadan, then Allah Azza wa Jal is not in need for him to leave off his food and drink. It's about discipline. It's about the package of Ramadan. You know, we are going to, inshallah ta'ala, rectify our state, reform ourselves during the month of Ramadan, and it's not just about not eating and not drinking. That's not the purpose of Ramadan. Then we have the fourth group of Muslims are known as Ramadan Muslims. In other words, they are very religious and very committed only in Ramadan. But as soon as Eid day comes, they go back to their former ways. Ramadan Muslims. Some scholars, when I was reading, they call them, these Ramadan Muslims, they call them pagans. Why? Because they are worshipping Ramadan as opposed to worshipping the Lord of Ramadan. Allah Azza wa Jal is the Lord of every month of the 12 Islamic months. Why is it that we're just worshipping Him only in Ramadan and forget about Him in every other month? So let us not be Ramadan Muslims. And we find, subhanAllah, there was, during the times of our pious predecessors, a slave girl was sold to a Muslim family. And when Ramadan was about to commence, you know, Muslims, they stock up. They stock up. Ramadan is coming. They go do all the grocery shopping for the suhoor and for the iftar time. Okay. So they were stocking up on all the provisions. And she found this strange. And she said to them, "Do you only fast in the month of Ramadan?" She said, "You know, I've come from a people. My previous master and his family, their whole year was Ramadan." Meaning they acted, they fasted not only in Ramadan, but other days. You know, as Muslims we can fast Mondays and Thursdays and the white days, which are Ayyamul Bid, the 13th, 14th and the 15th of every lunar month. Fasting the 10th day of Muharram, fasting the day of Arafat. Okay, so fasting the 6 days of Shawwal that come after Ramadan. So she said, "Take me back to my former owner. I don't want to be with a family that only fasts and reveres Allah in the month of Ramadan." This was the attitude of some of these great pious predecessors. Then we have the fifth group. And the fifth group are those Muslims who enter Ramadan and exit Ramadan, but that Ramadan doesn't change anything about them. They have the same attitude as they did before Ramadan. And you know, given that Ramadan is a disciplinary month, we should come out of Ramadan with some sort of change, leaving off a bad habit, taking on a good habit, inshallah ta'ala. So these people really have forfeited a great deal of reward and virtue that Ramadan offers. And then we have the sixth group, and they're the best of the group. the sixth group are those Muslims who really honor Ramadan and revere Ramadan and do so much. Ramadan to them is not like any other month of the year, but they really excel. They excel and they treat it and they honor it in the way which really shows their true iman. Now, the question is, how can we be part of this sixth group? The best of the best. The best of the best. Now, first of all, we need to understand and learn about the virtues that are related to Ramadan. What is so virtuous about Ramadan? What is the reward? What is the prize? You see, we as human beings are motivated when we know the prize, when we know the reward, we know what's going to be waiting for us. And that's why we need to educate ourselves, and ilm is very, very important. As Muslims, we cannot be superficial Muslims. We cannot be ignorant Muslims. We need to be Muslims that understand why we are doing things and the virtues that are related to the act of worship. So, let's go through some of the virtues and rewards of fasting in the month of Ramadan. First of all, in the hadith that is found in Sahih Bukhari, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, "Man sama Ramadan imanan wa ihtisaban ghufira lahu ma taqaddama min dhanbi." That whoever fasts the month of Ramadan out of iman, out of faith, believing that it is obligatory, it's a duty, imanan wa ihtisaban, and seeking the rewards, ghufira lahu ma taqaddama min dhanbi, all your sins that you have put forward in the past will be forgiven. Subhanallah. Isn't that enough of a virtue? Isn't that enough blessing to make the most out of Ramadan? You can have all of your previous sins forgiven. And this is in relation to all the minor sins, because the major sins need a sincere repentance, such as intending not to do it again, putting a stop to it, having remorse and regret, and repenting before it's too late to do so. In the hadith that is found in Sahih Muslim, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, my dear brothers and sisters, he said, the time between the five daily prayers and between Jumu'ah and Jumu'ah, between Friday and Friday, and between Ramadan and Ramadan, your sins are forgiven as long as you do not commit the major sins, as long as you avoid the major sins. If you avoid major sins and you're praying your five prayers and you're fasting your Ramadan and you are going to Jumu'ah, then those sins will be forgiven between them. Walhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Even if your sins are as much as the foam in the sea, there's no limit. The Prophet ﷺ is saying that your past sins will be forgiven. There is a door that is specifically created and designed for the people who fasted Ramadan or who fast. It's called Bab al-Rayyan. Al-Rayyan or Rayyan. You probably hear this name. This is a name that some people, they name their children. It's one of those names that you can hear that's given to a boy or a girl, Rayyan. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the hadith found in Bukhari, he said, there is a gate in Jannah called Ar-Rayyan, and those who observed fasting will enter through it on the day of resurrection, and none except them will enter through it. It will be said, where are those who used to fast? Where are those who used to fast? They will get up, and none except them will enter through it. After their entry, the gate will be closed, and no one will enter through it. A special gate, just for those who fasted the month of Ramadan, Bab al-Rayyan. Now, when it comes to the reward of fasting, the actual reward of fasting, only Allah Azza wa Jalla knows the actual reward. Listen to this hadith Qudsi that is found in Bukhari and Muslim. Allah Azza wa Jal, he said, all of the righteous actions of the children of Adam are multiplied. A good deed is counted as 10 good deeds up to 700. 700. Except for fasting, إِلَّا الصَّوْمْ فَإِنَّهُ لِي وَأَنَا أَجْزِي بِهِ. Except for fasting, it is for me, and I will give the reward for it. This is the words of Allah Azza wa Jal, Hadith Qudsi. He leaves his desires and his food for my sake. And then he says, لِلصَّائِمِ فَرْحَتَانِ. The fasting person has two joys. Two joys. فَرْحَةٌ عِنْدَ فِطْرِهِ. You will have the joy when you come to break your fast. You know, you're fasting all day, so many hours, and you come now to reach out for some drink and for some dates and some beautiful and, you know, nutritious food. There's a joy. That's the first joy. وَفَرْحَةٌ عِنْدَ لِقَاءِ رَبِّهِ. And there will be a joy when you meet Allah Azza wa Jal and you have fasted Ramadan. And then the Prophet ﷺ, he said in this hadith, لَخَلُوفُ فَمِ الصَّائِمِ أَطْيَبُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ مِنْ رِيحِ الْمِسْكِ. He said that the smell that is emanating, that is coming out from the mouth of a fasting person is more beloved or more beautiful than the smell of musk. And the smell of musk is a very beautiful scent. It's a smell, it's a perfume, very well known to the Arabs. Ra'ihatul misk. So these are some of the virtues that we need to keep in mind that will motivate us and inspire us to excel in Ramadan. Knowing the rewards. Knowing the virtues. Also, my dear brothers and my dear sisters in Islam, we must not neglect working towards the greatest objective of fasting. What is the greatest objective in fasting the month of Ramadan? Is it that we just go without food and drink? Is that the whole purpose of fasting? That it's just about not eating and drinking so we can be just patient? We can say yes. There are many objectives of fasting. Patience is one of them. Thinking about the poor and the needy and what they are going through. But without a doubt, the greatest objective of fasting is to gain taqwa. Is to gain taqwa, that reverence of Allah, to increase our iman. So that iman penetrates our heart, permeates it, and spreads throughout our bodies. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, after the prescription, after the command of fasting, after He said, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامِ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ, He says, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, in order that you gain taqwa. In order that you develop this piety, this God consciousness, this reverence and fear of Allah Azza wa Jal. So, taqwa. This is the greatest objective. Now, the next action that we need to take to be amongst the winners of Ramadan is to engage and to compete with one another in different acts of worship. So, the greatest act of worship that you can perform in Ramadan, or one of the greatest acts of worship that you can perform in Ramadan, is to attach yourself to the Qur'an, and to be reciting the Qur'an, listening to the Qur'an, memorizing the Qur'an, understanding the Qur'an, putting the Qur'an into practice. And so, we find in Sahih Muslim, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, اقرأوا القرآن فإنه يأتي يوم القيامة شفيع لأصحابه. He said, recite the Qur'an, for it, the Qur'an, will come on the day of resurrection as an intercessor for those who attached themselves to it, who committed themselves to the Qur'an. It actually intercedes. It comes and says, Ya Allah, forgive him. He is one who read me. He is one who read your words. In the hadith that is found in Sunan al-Tirmidhi, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, whoever reads a letter, a harf from the book of Allah will receive a hasana, a good deed for recitation. And he said, and the hasana is multiplied by 10. I do not say that alif, lam, mim. So alif, lam, mim, you know, are the first three letters of Surah Al-Baqarah, is not considered a letter. But instead, alif is a letter. Lam is a letter. Mim is a letter. So you will be rewarded for each letter that you recite of the Quran. And so we find when the month of Ramadan would commence, our pious predecessors, including the Sahaba and the Tabi'un and Atba'u Tabi'een, they would focus on the Quran. Jibreel used to visit the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam every night during the month of Ramadan, and he would revise the Quran with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So when we are revising the Quran and reading it day and night throughout Ramadan, we are following in the footsteps of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, who was revising the Quran with Jibreel alayhi salam, Gabriel. Uthman ibn Affan, the great Sahabi radiallahu anhu wa arda, he would read the Quran from cover to cover once every day. So that means he would read it 30 times during the month of Ramadan. 30 times. And some of the pious predecessors would recite the Quran, the entire Quran, during the night prayers every 3 nights. So every 3 nights during the Qiyam, they finished reciting the Quran. Some every 7 days, and some every 10 days, and some would recite it, the entire Quran, in their salat, and some outside of their salat. It is reported that Imam al-Shafi'i, rahimahullahu ta'ala, he would read the Quran entirely throughout the month of Ramadan, 60 times outside of the salat. They were very, very committed. The ulama, the scholars of hadith, and other scholars, they would close up the books of hadith, and close up the books of fiqh, and close up all the different books related to the different sciences of Islam, and focus on the Qur'an. Because it is the month of the Qur'an. It is the month in which the Qur'an was revealed. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, شَهْرُ رَمَضَانَ الَّذِي أُنزِلَ فِيهِ الْقُرْآنِ. Shahru Ramadan, the month of Ramadan, in which the Qur'an was revealed. So this is the month to reconnect with the Qur'an. And the person who lets days go past without reciting the Qur'an should really be weeping and crying over himself. How is it that we have a great book, the book of Allah Azza wa Jalla, and we allow days to pass without picking it up, without reading it and acknowledging it? So, we find some of our pious predecessors reciting the entire Qur'an less than 3 days. Now, some people might be asking, didn't the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in one hadith prohibit reading the entire Qur'an in less than 3 days? And the answer is yes, but as Ibn Rajab, one of the great scholars, he said the prohibition is for the one who reads the Qur'an in less than 3 days on a regular basis. You know, if you're doing it on a regular basis, then you're not really absorbing the Qur'an. But as for reading the Qur'an during virtuous days, such as Ramadan, or such as when you enter Mecca, or you're performing Hajj, or during the month of, during virtuous times and places, then there's no harm in reciting the entire Qur'an in less than 3 days. A person might be asking, what is preferred in Ramadan? To read Qur'an or to memorize Qur'an or to revise it? The ulama said, whatever is going to impact your iman, whatever is going to allow for your iman to be nourished. So, and the best answer will be to combine between both. To combine between memorizing and between reading and revising the Qur'an. So my dear brothers and my dear sisters in Islam, those of you who want Allah Azza wa Jal to talk to them, then recite the Qur'an. Because Allah Azza wa Jal is talking to us, because Al-Qur'anu Kalamullah. They are the words of Allah. The Qur'an contains the very words of Allah Azza wa Jal. And so when you read the Qur'an, Allah Azza wa Jal is talking to you. And when you pray, you are talking to Allah Azza wa Jal. This is a time for us to reconnect with the Qur'an. And wallahi, you might be thinking, how is it possible? How is it possible to recite the entire Qur'an in the month of Ramadan? Many people, alhamdulillah, around the world will complete the entire Qur'an, will read it from cover to cover, 6,236 verses. or 604 pages, or 114 chapters in this entire month. They'll read it at least once. How is this possible? The Quran is made up of 604 Arabic pages, roughly. Let's round it down to make it easier for the mathematics, to 600 pages. 600 pages. There are 30 days in the month of Ramadan. 600 divided by 30 is 20. So by reciting 20 pages in one day, 20 pages a day, every day in Ramadan, you have read the entire Quran. Let's make it easier on the mind, because it's all about mind over matter. By reciting 4 pages after each of the 5 prayers, 4 pages after each of the 5 prayers, that's 20 pages in a day. Allahu Akbar, how easy it is to read the whole Quran at least once in the month of Ramadan. Recite 8 pages after every salah and you've recited the whole Quran twice. And so on and so forth. But sometimes we have to do this to ourselves, inshallah ta'ala, to remember to finish the Quran. And so, inshallah ta'ala, when you read the Quran, wallahi, it's going to have an impact on our hearts. Okay? The Quran gives you that sakina and that tranquility that no other book in the world is going to give. 6,236 ayat leading towards the Creator Allah Azza wa Jal. And it's all about this heart. Because if we reform our hearts, the rest of our body is going to be reformed. And that's why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أَلَا إِنَّ فِي الْجَسَدِ مُضْغَةً إِذَا صَلُحَتْ صَلُحَ سَائِرَ الْجَسَدِ. He said, there is a morsel of flesh in the body. If it is sound, the rest of the body will be sound. It is the heart. And as Ibn al-Arabi, he said, إِذَا حَلَّتِ الْهِدَايَةُ قَلْبًا نَشِطَتْ بِالْعِبَادَةِ الْأَعْضَاءُ. That when hidayah, when guidance conquers your heart, your limbs become enthusiastic with worship. So if you say to yourself, how can I be like this brother or like this sister who's always doing qiyam and salah and Quran and sadaqah and always there in the forefront when it comes to acts of worship, we say that this person, Allah Azza wa Jal, has permeated their heart with iman and guidance. And that's the starting point. Because the heart, my dear brothers and my dear sisters in Islam, is the chief organ of the body. It's the king. It's the storehouse of our iman. It's the storehouse of our taqwa. It's the storehouse of our ikhlas. It's the storehouse of our tawakkul. And when it is sound, it's going to now make the soldiers also sound, which are the limbs. So that's why we need to feed and nurture our hearts, inshallah ta'ala. And so, many of our hearts are locked. They've got locks on them. And Allah Azza wa Jal, He says so in the Quran. Allah Azza wa Jal says, أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ أَمْ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبٍ أَقْفَالُهَا. He says, do they not reflect upon the Quran, or are there locks upon their hearts? Many Muslims have locks on their hearts. They're not moved by the Quran. These Muslims again should weep over their sorry state. And Allah Azza wa Jal talks about the state of the believers. That when the Quran is recited, their hearts moved. Wajilat qulubuhum. Their hearts move. And Uthman ibn Affan, radiallahu anhu, wa ardahi, said, Wallahi, لو طهرت قلوبنا ما شبعنا من كلام ربنا. If our hearts were pure and cleansed, we would never have enough. Never can we say we've had enough Quran. We will always be yearning and longing for more. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in elsewhere in the Quran, He says, أَفَمِنْ هَذَا الْحَدِيثِ تَعْجَبُونَ وَتَضْحَكُونَ وَلَا تَبْكُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Do you then not wonder about this recital and you laugh and you don't weep? When the Sahaba heard this ayat, أَفَمِنْ هَذَا الْحَدِيثِ تَعْجَبُونَ وَتَضْحَكُونَ وَلَا تَبْكُونَ, the Sahaba began to weep. And you can see the tears coming down from their eyes, on their cheeks. And when the Prophet ﷺ, he heard them crying, he began to cry. And when he cried, the Sahaba cried more. This was the way the Sahaba were moved by the Qur'an. And the Prophet ﷺ, he said, he will not enter the hellfire, the one who cries from the fear of Allah Azza wa Jalla. He will not enter the hellfire. From amongst the actions that you can occupy yourselves in during this limited time, Ramadan is for a limited time, is the Qiyam prayers, is the night prayers. And specifically in Ramadan and in the hadith that is found in Bukhari and Muslim, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Man qama Ramadan imanan wa ihtisaba, ghufira lahu ma taqaddama min dhanbi." That whoever stands up in night prayers during the month of Ramadan out of iman and seeking the rewards, he will have his past sins forgiven. And in Sahih Muslim, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the most virtuous salah after the obligatory salah is the night salah. And if you want to enter Jannah peacefully, then listen to this prophetic formula, ingredients to enter Jannah peacefully. In the hadith that is found in Sunan At-Tirmidhi, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ya ayyuhan nas, O people, he said, Afshu salam, wa at'imu at'am, wa silu al-arham, wa sallu fi al-layli, wa al-nasu niyam, tadkhulu al-jannata bi salam. He said, O people, spread salam, say assalamu alaykum, and feed the poor people, and establish the ties of kinship, and pray during the night when people are sleeping, and you will enter Jannah with peace. And so we find that the Sahaba, radiallahu anhum, and the Salaf al-Salih, those who Allah Azza wa Jal praised, كانوا قليلا من الليل ما يهجعون. They used to sleep very little during the night. They used to sleep little. And so we find in the story whereby a female Muslim slave, her master sold her also to another family. And during the night she woke up to pray, and the people heard her waking up for prayer, and they said to her, is it time for Fajr? Is it time to get up for Fajr or for Subh? Salatul Subh. And she said, why? Do you only get up for Fajr? Is that's where you only know Allah at night, only for Fajr? And so they said to her, yes. And she said, look, I would prefer that you return me back to my former master and family, because, you know, they are people who used to perform the night prayers. And so I encourage myself, I encourage all of you, inshallah ta'ala, to fill up the masajid, the houses of Allah Azza wa Jal, and to pray the Taraweeh prayers, the night prayers. And they are the same, whether we call them Qiyam, Tahajjud, Taraweeh. It's all in reference to night prayers. And to pray with the Imam until he finishes. In the hadith found in the Sunan, in the books of Sunan, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever prays with the Imam until he walks off, in other words, he prays until the Imam has finished leading the prayer, which includes the witr prayer, he will have written for him the reward of having prayed the entire night. So you pray with the Imam the Isha, then you pray your sunnah prayer, then you pray the Salatul Taraweeh, whether you are praying 8 with the Imam, you're praying 20 with the Imam, and you pray the witr with the Imam, and then you go home. If you do this, it will be counted for you as if you have prayed the entire night. So don't shortchange yourself by leaving after the 8 or leaving after the 20 without having prayed the witr prayer. And also, my dear brothers and my dear sisters in Islam, it is not a condition It is not a condition that you pray the Taraweeh prayers at home. If you cannot pray in the masjid, then you can pray them at home with your family members. So if you miss a day or two or three in the masjid, why not pray them at home? And it's not a condition that you pray 8 or 20. Pray something is better than not praying anything at all, inshallah ta'ala. And so we need to pray together. And this is something that really brings the family together. You know, in the Western world, they say, the family that eats together stays together. Well, us Muslims have borrowed this saying, and we say that the family that prays together stays together, inshallah ta'ala. From amongst the virtuous acts for this limited time only is to give sadaqah, is to give to the poor and to the needy all around the world, especially in those countries that are poverty stricken and have gone and going through calamity and misfortunes. Give sadaqah. Why sadaqah in this month? Because it's a virtuous month, and because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was very, very generous in the month of Ramadan. And as we find in the hadith of Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu wa arda, that is found in Musnad al-Imam Ahmad, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was naturally the most generous of people, and he was even more generous in Ramadan. He was more generous than the breeze that would be coming through. And so Ramadan is a time to be open-handed. And the word sadaqah comes from sidq. It's a reflection of your truthfulness and your love of Allah Azza wa Jal. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he encouraged to give sadaqah, especially when you are sahih, when you are healthy, when you are shahih, when you are feeling tight and feeling close and you have a closed fist. When you are takhsha al-faqr, you are afraid of poverty, wa ta'malul ghina, and you are hopeful in becoming rich. That's what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in the hadith that is found in Bukhari and Muslim. And so don't belittle any act of sadaqah that you can give. Perhaps that $1, those few cents, those pounds, whatever it is that you're spending, those riyals, those dollars that you are spending for the sake of Allah, you might find them a mountain in front of you in rewards and virtue on the Day of Judgment. Muawiyah radiallahu anhu, he gave one day Aisha radiallahu anha, he gave her 100,000 dirhams. And so she gives all of it away in sadaqah. And she leaves nothing for her or her family members, and she was fasting. So her servant asks her why she didn't leave any money for some food to break the fast on. So all they broke their fast on was on some, you know, dates and water. Well, she had all of this money in her possession. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he also encouraged feeding a fasting person in Ramadan. There are many campaigns, there are many projects around the world whereby they are collecting money to feed a fasting person. Poor people who are fasting, and you contribute towards their fasting person. And when you contribute to a fasting person's break of fast, you will have the reward of that fasting person without their reward being taken away from them. So it is as if you have fasted 2 days for that day. The Prophet ﷺ said, whoever feeds a fasting person, he will have the same reward like him without there being any reduction in the reward of the one who is fasting. So let's say, for example, you feed 30 people in the month of Ramadan. It's as if you fasted 2 Ramadans. If you feed 60 people, it's as if you have fasted 3 Ramadans. Your Ramadan and the other 2 Ramadans for the 60 people that you have fed. And in some parts of the world, as little as maybe $70 or $50 can feed a person for the entire month. In some parts of the world, you can probably even feed an entire family. So imagine $70 or $100 that has fed 4 people. So this is something to remember, and also to invite people over. When you invite people to your home and you host them during the month of Ramadan, those people that you host, you will be breaking their fast. And inshallah ta'ala, after the lecture, I want to talk to you about one of the projects, especially for our brothers and sisters in Syria. And so, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Ramadan is also a time to repent. Repent to Allah Azza wa Jal. And to turn back to Allah, because the chiefs of the shayateen are chained up. Maradatu shayateen are chained up. That's why many people are not inclined to do so much evil. Yes, there will still be the agents of the shaitans, of the chiefs of the shaitan. But we find in the hadith that the shayateen, the devils, satans, the major ones, the chiefs, the big ones, the big guys, the big guns, okay, they're all chained up. So this is a time to now, come into Ramadan and reap up the benefits and the virtues and this this time that can really strengthen us and reconnect us if we have been disconnected from Allah Azza wa Jal and derailed. So that's why we shouldn't turn these limited days, okay, into a missed opportunity. Ramadan is one of those times to increase in dua. And that's why in Surah Al-Baqarah, when Allah Azza wa Jal spoke about Siyam, He said, وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِ إِذَا دَعَانِ He said, when إِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي, when my slaves ask about me, وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ I am near. He didn't even say, tell them I am near. He just said, I am near. Allah Azza wa Jal is near. You don't need to go through a middle person. Go directly to Allah Azza wa Jal. Go directly to the source. This is the time to do dua. And the Prophet ﷺ, he said, "Ad-du'a'u huwa al-ibadah." It's an act of worship. By you asking Allah Azza wa Jal, you are getting hasanat and reward for the dua. And also, you might actually be getting the fruits of that dua in the dunya, or you might get it in the hereafter, or you might get it in both. And so, ask Allah Azza wa Jal. Ask Allah Azza wa Jal to cure you from an illness that you might have, that you thought maybe can never be cured. Ask Allah Azza wa Jal to increase your iman. Ask Allah Azza wa Jal to rid you of a bad habit, or to increase you and to give you the energy to do something which is of benefit to you in the dunya. And get used to the times of ijabah. There are certain times where dua is accepted. One of those times, for example, between the adhan and the iqamah, when you go to the masjid and you hear the adhan and you're waiting for the salah, right? You're waiting for the iqamah. This time is a special time to make dua. And the dua is going to be, inshallah, or highly acceptable between adhan and between iqamah. Between, for example, the third part of the night, the suhoor time, make dua. In your sujood, make dua. When you break your fast, make the dua. Before saying assalamu alaikum in your salah, before the taslim, make dua. When you're traveling, and the other times where are known as mawaqin or awqat al-istijaba, the times of istijab. Ramadan, my dear brothers and my dear sisters in Islam, should discipline us to be patient. وَمَنْ يَتَصَبَّرْ يُصَبِّرْهُ اللَّهُ Allah Azza wa Jal says, or the Prophet ﷺ said, whoever practices patience, Allah will make them patient. It's time to practice our patience in Ramadan. Patience when it comes to our acts of worship. Patience when it comes to keeping away from haram. Patience when it comes to our adversities, our calamities, our hardships that Allah Azza wa Jal has decreed for us. This is the time. We've got an opportunity to become more patient in Ramadan, inshallah ta'ala. And the Prophet ﷺ, he even said that if somebody makes you angry in Ramadan, or somebody swears at you, he says to say to them, inni sa'im, I am fasting. Remind yourself and remind them about siyam. This is not the time and not the place to be doing this. My dear brothers and my dear sisters in Islam, let me conclude by reminding you all to revive the sunnah during the month of Ramadan. Revive the sunnah. Keep the sunnah alive. What are some of the things that we can do in the month of Ramadan to maintain the sunnah and to protect it and safeguard it and to reap up the rewards and benefits behind it? Number one is suhoor. Make sure you have your pre-dawn meal. Suhoor. Or as-sahoor, the meal itself. Even if it's for a glass of water, don't be lazy. Get up and have something. You'll fulfill the sunnah. The Prophet ﷺ, he said, "Tasahharu, fa inna fi suhuri baraka." He said, take up your suhoor meal, for there is barakah in the suhoor. There is barakah in the time, there is barakah in the meal itself. Barakah is a blessing. So, and this is a time to make dua. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَبِالْ أَسْحَارِ هُمْ يَسْتَغْفِرُونَ. Those who ask for forgiveness during the suhoor time. From amongst the sunnah acts that you can do during the month of Ramadan is to break your fast on dates. Fresh dates. And to break your fast on an odd number of dates. Break your fast on an odd number of dates. This is the sunnah. If there are no dates, then sips of water. As for dates and milk, this is not from the sunnah of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. If you're going to break your fast on dates and then you want to drink milk afterward, this is, yes, you can do this. But to say it's from the sunnah is to eat the dates. If there's no dates that are present, then sips of water. If there's no water present, then anything else. And especially foods with sugary content to bring up your blood sugar levels and prepare your body, inshallah ta'ala, for the meal. And also from amongst the sunnah acts to remember during the month of Ramadan is the dua to say when you come to break your fast. And the most authentic dua to say at the time of breaking your fast consists of four phrases. And they are as follows. ذهب الظمأ وابتلت العروق وثبت الأجر إن شاء الله. ذهب الظمأ وابتلت العروق وثبت الأجر إن شاء الله. Which means, الظمأ is the thirst, the thirst. ذهب الظمأ means the thirst has been quenched. وابتلت العروق, and the veins have been moistened from the water, from the food. وثبت الأجر, and the reward has been established, inshaAllah, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills. During the month of Ramadan, I remind you to pray the 12 prayers of sunnah that are associated with the salat, and that by praying the 12 prayers of sunnah that are associated with the salat, this can be guaranteeing you a mansion in Jannah. They are the two rak'at before Fajr, the four before Dhuhr, two after Maghrib, and two after Salatul Isha. I remind you not to miss out, especially Witr prayer and the two Sunnah prayers before the Fard of Fajr. The Prophet ﷺ, he never missed out these prayers, neither when he was a resident nor when he was traveling. Witr can be one, can be three in odd numbers. It's the last prayer of the night. It's best to delay it before you go to sleep, and or at least pray after Isha. And the Prophet ﷺ, regarding the two Sunnah prayers of Fajr, he said that they are dearer to me than the whole world. And the hadith of Fana Sahih Muslim. Don't miss salat, yani the sunnah of Fajr. And the sunnah is to pray two rak'at, reciting Fatiha and Qul ya ayyuhal kafirun in the first rak'ah, Surah Al Kafirun, and in the second rak'ah to be reciting Fatiha and Surah Al Ikhlas, Qul huwa Allahu Ahad. And for those of you who want to gain the reward of the reward of Hajj and Umrah during the month of Ramadan, it's encouraged after you pray Salatul Fajr in Jama'ah, in the masjid, to sit in the same place that you prayed in, or at least stay in the masjid, and to remember Allah through Quran and Dhikr until the sun rises. Wait about 15 minutes or so until the sun has risen at least a spear's length above the horizon, and pray two rak'at. And by doing so, the Prophet ﷺ, he said, it is as if you have performed Hajj and Umrah, tammah, 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 complete, complete, complete. If you also want to gain the reward of performing Hajj, the reward of Hajj, with the Prophet ﷺ, listen to this hadith that is found in Bukhari and Muslim. The Prophet ﷺ, he said, the Umrah that is performed during Ramadan is equivalent in reward to Hajj or Hajj with me. So if you perform Umrah in Ramadan, if you can afford it and you have the means, it's as if you have performed Hajj with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I also remind you about the last 10 days of Ramadan, and they are the most virtuous days of Ramadan. These are not days for us to be cleaning and worrying about spring cleaning before Eid, you know, and to waste them, you know. And especially those days are days where really our energy levels have depleted, because we're coming towards the end. So it's very important we stay focused, we keep up our suhoor, we keep up our balanced nutrition, so that way we have the energy levels high, inshallah ta'ala, eating balanced foods, okay? So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the last 10 days of Ramadan, he used to, there was a statement that he used to tighten his waist belt, meaning he worked harder. And he would wake up his family in night prayers. And of course, why the last 10 days? Because it contains one night, Laylatul Qadr, which is better than 1,000 months of worship, which is about 83 years and 4 months of worship. Let's not turn these last 10 days into a missed opportunity, especially the eve of the odd days of the last 10 days of the month of Ramadan, inshallah ta'ala. And so let us, inshallah ta'ala, spend most of our time in the remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jal. And to my dear sisters in Islam, I remind you that it's not all about cooking. It's not all about spending all these hours in the kitchen. Okay, remember the saying that we eat to live. Okay, we don't live to eat. And so we have to really get our priorities right, inshallah ta'ala. And that Ramadan is a time to connect with Allah Azza wa Jal. It's not about, you know, the halwa. It's not about all these different dishes. Okay, inshallah ta'ala. And let's make it a blessed Ramadan, an outstanding Ramadan. Let's purify our intentions that this Ramadan will be the best ever Ramadan. The best ever Ramadan. Allahumma balighna Ramadan. Allahumma taqabbal minna siyamana wa qiyamana fi Ramadan. Allahumma a'inna ala dhikrika wa shukrika wa husni ibadatik. Hada wallahu a'lam. Wa sallallahu wa sallama wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad.